Blog Talk Radio.
TV aristocrat, pulling rabbits from his hat. Oh, well, I didn't know it worked like that. Sounds great until you do the math. And now people waking up, poking heads out of their stuff. What an expensive turtle shell. It's probably just as well, because I don't want to be the machine powered by the American dream. Now the people want the truth, but the truth it can't be found. Well, it's just an artifact, and it's buried in the ground. And I know I'm to blame, let's call it by its true name. Well, I never held a gun, but I gave it to your son. And I watched as it lulled him to sleep with a hypnotic hum.
Beliefs.
Welcome to the Legacy Forum. This is Robin and, of course, Harry Shivery. This program is all about bringing a little positivity and awareness to the world. Tonight, if we sound a little different, a little bit more background noise, that's because we're out and about again. We're back in Old Town in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are at the Main Line and L House. It's in Old Town on College. Highly recommend it. Good food and even better beer. Great, great wait staff. We've had several wonderful waitresses as we come in tonight getting ready for the radio show. So thank you for each and every one of you. Harry's going to give a shout-out to you a little bit later. You can call us by dialing 347-677-0699. That's 347-677-0699. Or you can find us on the Internet by going to blogtalkradio.com. You know, there's a lot of things that slip by Harry, but this week he caught a few pieces of information that you should find informative, that you might find helpful. So let's go ahead and bring in the one and only, the much-rested Harry, to provide us this week's things to know. Come on, Harry.
Well, thank you, Robin. This is greatly, greatly appreciated. We are sitting in a fabulous, fabulous restaurant and bar and sport. I don't know what it all it is, but it's everything I've ever wanted. It's called the Main Line, and we are here in Fort Collins. Now, let's get on to things to know. Know this. Research has shown that helping others allows you to feel more powerful. It can boost productivity, improve performance, and leave employees feeling more satisfied on the job. Know this. An examination of a college degree is worth the cost. It found that the average college student graduate earns more over the lifetime, about $800,000 more than the average high school graduate. Know this. College graduates, head of households under 40 with student debt, have a median net worth of only $8,700. Know this. $445 million was spent on political TV ads mentioning the law since the enactment of the Affordable Care Act. Spending on negative ads outpaced positive ones by more than 15 to 1. Know this. 6,000 women in the United States enter menopause each day. Well, those are the things to know for the week, and I'm exhausted. I think I'll go take a nap.
I don't think you're going to get taken out for two reasons. Number one, you need to explain to me what the whole point was in talking about 6,000 women every day going into menopause. What's your point here? What are you trying to say?
It's just things to know. It's useless information, tidbits that someone that someday may decide that maybe we can decrease that or increase it, one of the two. But
whatever. So the second reason that you can't get taken out is you have to have the honor and the privilege next to introduce our special guest tonight and talk to her and help our listeners hear her amazing story. So you have a little more work to do.
Okay, and it is my privilege. You know, we do this radio show for one particular reason, and that's to bring betterment to the world. Well, you can't do that if everybody acts like drones. We have a lady that we met, and she is now a friend of ours. Christy is a phenomenal human being. And like Amy Hendrickson's song, The Machine, well, let me tell you something. This lady, Christy, is not going to be part of the machine. She is living life the way it should be lived. Christy, are you there?
I am. Thank you. Those kind words are amazing.
Oh, you are an amazing lady. Your energy abounds. I mean, anybody that meets you can just, you know, feel the energy bouncing off your body. So we got to meet you. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, for starters, I just turned 35 a couple days ago. I made it 35 years in this beautiful world, and I'm very happy with it because in the time that I've been here, I've been able to travel and meet and greet and talk to a lot of people that have absolutely changed my life. I definitely cannot lie saying all that. So I basically grew up in upstate New York. I have a beautiful family. I've got two brothers and a sister, and I've got nieces, and I've got, yeah, just family everywhere. But to me, it's not always just about blood related. It's just, you know, whoever I meet that I can connect with, that it just ends up being my family. So I started off in one place, and then I've constantly moved to another. It's just been my life calling, just to always constantly be on the move and see what I can do, you know, I guess, like, damage-wise to other people's souls throughout the world. So that's it. That's been my main thing. So I went from New York, Carolina, North Carolina, to Big Island of Hawaii, and I just planted myself in Fort Collins, Colorado, almost a year ago now.
Well, you know,
almost a year. I'm not quite to my anniversary.
Well, happy birthday, and I'm glad you're in Fort Collins, because if you weren't here, we wouldn't have got to be friends. So, you know, it sounds like you don't waste a moment in your life, and that, you know, you take every moment and sap as much energy out of it that you possibly can. So tell our listeners, and tell me, and tell Robin, how did you come about developing such a philosophy about living life?
Well, I think basically just growing up in a large family where I always had a mother that worked so hard to get everything that she wanted, and she always had these pipe dreams of being able to travel, but she was always afraid to leave where she lived. And that was always just a thing that I could never wrap my head around. And so when it basically came time where I felt like my entire mentality came to fruition, and where I just needed up and go, I just did it. So I basically took it on myself to graduate from high school in CNS, Cicerona Syracuse High School. I graduated about 6 months early. I had to double up on gym class and all sorts of ridiculous stuff that I didn't want to have to do, but I did it because I felt like I had something bigger and better that I wanted to do. So I turned around and I told my mother I would stick around until I graduated, and I walked across the podium, took my diploma, and about 2 weeks later I took off to North Carolina. And it was just one of those things where I just felt like it was like an inner thing within me that if I just stay in one spot, yeah, I might be happy. I might be content. I might want or get everything that I possibly want. Or I could shake my life up a little bit and try to find something else that, you know, is the bigger meaning of life, which, I mean, I'm still searching for it now because I've moved numerous times, so I'm not saying I found it, but I think that's the life calling, is always finding that, searching, and never being afraid to just pick up and just go. So that's been my kind of big thing.
So what does scare you if going to Hawaii all by your lonesome, basically, with no family there, what does scare you?
Well, I can tell you right now, initially, it was not being able to pronounce the street names, not being able to... It's very intimidating. When you go to a place that's as beautiful as Hawaii, you have to learn to respect the culture, envelop it, and it's either going to envelop you or it's going to spit you out. So I'm not telling everybody that's even listening right now to pack up all of your things and do exactly like I did. My whole thing is that I felt like there was something drawing me to a giant shakeup of my life. And I figured if I was going to shake everything up, going from extreme East Coast to extreme West Coast, there's no better path for me to go than to go to an island where, you know, I'm looked at as just an absolute foreigner, you know. But I was very fortunate, because I don't know if it was necessarily the way that I am or how I react to people or whatever, but I got completely enveloped in the biggest giant hug with that island, and I love it more than anything else in this world. Most people aren't that lucky. I'm sure there'd be plenty of people that could give horror stories about certain stuff, but the island either eats you up or it, you know, it takes you in. So it was just trying to find that balance of something where I could do, where I could just change my entire mind frame and the way that I was living my life. Because I can be precarious and I can be spontaneous and fun and all that, but at the same time, like, I obviously need some sort of an order, but at that particular point in my life, I needed to just shake it up, and that was the best place for me. It was pipe dreams. It's princess dreams to be able to go out to an island, you know. How many times when you're a kid, you're like, I want to move to Hawaii. It seems like a far-off dream, but you can make it a reality. The only thing you have to do is just do it. Like literally, like, take all of your fears, swallow them up, and just go. Like, just do it. Like, sink or swim. Like, you're either going to make it or you're not, but you're not going to lose yourself over it. It's just a part of life.
I love that when you told me that here earlier, Christy. Sink or swim. You're just going to get out there. You're just going to do it. And you aren't afraid to dream. A lot of people that listen to us weekly have heard us talk about a dream board, and I don't know if that's something you have or not, but it's a tangible piece of poster board with pictures of places you want to go, things you want to do, charities you'd like to give to, things like that. And, you know, the thing is, I think that many of us are afraid to dream big, and that's the biggest letters on my dream board is dream big. And when Harry and I first got together, I wasn't living where I wanted to live. It was just where I needed to live right then. And whenever we decided we'd move in together, we went looking at rental properties, and we went to this beautiful house. And I was like, yeah, this is nice, but, you know, I just don't see how we can afford it. And he's like, Robin, what makes you automatically say that? Look at what you can do. That you can afford it, picture yourself in that house. And then it wasn't too many years later we ended up buying a house that was even better than that house. So I think that one beautiful gift that you have is that you're not afraid to dream big. Is that right? Have you always been a dreamer but then not afraid to go get that dream?
I think it's one of those things where I am completely scared to death, but I'm not afraid to jump in feet first. I'm not afraid to belly flop. I just want to know that in the short time that I'm around in this world that I've been able to do as much as that I can, because I mean, I may not be the book smart, you know, I didn't do college. I pretty much got out and I just wanted to see the world. I wanted to go for more street smart than book smart. You know, I'm not even the youngest. I'm like the second oldest, and I've got four siblings. Like, I mean, we've all had different paths that we've gone. I think a lot of people get brainwashed the fact that they've been told you can't do this. Like, we watch too much TV. There's too much of this pipe dream stuff going on that seems like it's unattainable, but it is completely attainable if you just get yourself out of that mindset and actually just jump in. Just do it. I'm not saying, like, sell off your entire family and like, be irresponsible about it, but I'm just saying it's not unattainable. You know, it's just like me turning 35 and, like, being able to live in the places that I have and gone the places that I've gone. I've done it because I've worked hard and I've known that I can do it. A lot of people just get stuck in this mind frame that they just can't go there. And you can, you know, you can. It's like, even if it means going to, like, Indiana or something like that, maybe you've always wanted to go to Indiana, you know? It's just like, it's whatever your dream is. Mine was going to Ireland. I did it 2 years ago. Me and my fiancé, I ended up paying for him to go out there for his birthday. Spent 2 weeks in Ireland, couldn't understand a word of what anybody was saying, but it was the best time of my life. It was amazing. And it was cheap, and I left from Hawaii to go to Ireland. Who goes from one island to another island? Like, really?
You did.
Well, one of the things, and you have a copy of my book, and it's called America the Brainwashed, and one of the reasons I wrote the book is because I, like you, have grown tired or almost sorry because we have become a nation of people who have been brainwashed into believing that they can accomplish miracles, that, you know, the 40-40-40 rule of working somewhere for 40 hours a week for 40 years and retiring with 40% of your pay is what they're supposed to do. And so it's refreshing.
And you lose 40% of your pay no matter what. So, I mean, that's the hard thing. But
to get people to understand that life was meant to live and that each of us has that dream of destiny within us, to pay attention to it is difficult to get people to do, and then to meet people like you it gives me renewed faith. So as you're growing up, and even today, who are your heroes? Who do you look up to? Who do you aspire to be other than yourself? I mean, who do you admire?
Oof. I mean, that's heavy because I mean, first and foremost, I admire my parents because the struggle that they've done just to be able to, you know, raise four children and just have us all have independent thought, do our own thing, and not be afraid to take that leap. Automatically, I have to say that. I have to. Even if it's a cliche or whatever, I have to say that because they are just really the strongest people that have ever, like, I've just ever encountered. And, like, to this day, you know, me and my mother have such a connection to where I'm surprised she hasn't actually called in right now knowing that there's something going on in my life, and she's just like, I need to call you. But, you know, it's just like that first and foremost. For more people to look up to, I'm not going to give a figure. I'm not going to go for a religion. I'm not going to go for anything like that because the way that I've lived right now is that I've been working in the service industry, and every single person I believe that I meet, I've met them for a reason. So if I turn around and I hear their story, where they've come from, what they've done, what they might do, that might be something that betters me. So who am I to say it's, you know, like it's like any like anybody. Like I don't even have any names for it because it's so I can't name drop any of it. To me it's weird, and it might sound horrible to maybe your listeners or just like, oh, that's really I've been a lot of places in the times. Like I said, I'm 35. I've been out on my own since I was 16. I've met a lot of people in the things that I've done. You know, I've been everything from a phlebotomist, and I've sold life insurance, which was a horrible job, and I've gotten into more service industry. And the only reason I really love service industry is because I have that chance to talk to people and see where you came from. I can pick your brain. And maybe you've done something to help me out as much as I've maybe helped you out. Even if that means a whiskey shot, whatever. But first and foremost, I think my biggest thing is my parents, hands down, is they're my solid. My entire family, my sister and my two brothers, my nieces and my cousins, and like all these people they've molded me one way or another. Have I followed all the rules? Nope. But, you know, that's not what it's all about.
Well, I don't know if following the rules is what we should all be doing, because if we would follow the rules, then we probably wouldn't have the inventions and the magnificent world that in which we live in. So what are your goals? What is left on your bucket list? You're 35. You've got a third of your life lived. You've got two-thirds to go. So what are your goals? What's left on that bucket list of yours?
Well, that's a heavy question, my dear. Like, we just met this afternoon, but that's a very heavy question. So, I mean, my goals right now is I feel like no matter what, I was meant to do something to change people's life. And one of the biggest things, I think, is being a mother. And I really, really want to be a mother. I'm a mother right now to a 10-year-old, but he's my stepson, but I consider him mine. I think that's one of my life goals. Obviously, you know, I mean, you could throw out more traveling and, you know, all the adult things I should be saying right now. But, I mean, I think with me deep-seated, what I really want is I just want that thing that's, like, completely mine. You know, I want to be able to take over the world one step at a time, but be able to make somewhat of a difference, like whatever that might be. Because I don't have the answers. I don't know what that is. But I just know that if I keep on the path that I am, I'm one step closer to maybe figuring out, because I keep asking questions. So it's a point between that and, you know, yeah.
I think maybe I should get a puppy. We're not responsible. Robin and I are not responsible enough to be dog owners. That's why we have a cat. But nonetheless, I think you're...
They're worse. Cats are much worse than dogs. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, no. Our cat, we can leave for 2 or 3 days and come home, and he just, you know, he's fine without us or with us. But I think you'd be a hell of a mother. But I can tell you that there's no greater thing, you know, in helping the world than giving the inspiration of meeting people like you do, because you energize people. And that is something, the world is full of negativity. The world is telling you what you can't do. I give you an example, and Robin has used this before, but when teachers grade a test, they count what's wrong, not what's right. And I think one of the greatest things that we've done a disservice to our children, to one another, to everybody that will come in contact is we have a tendency to point out their failings rather than highlight their attributes. And meeting you today, it improved our lives. It made a big difference in us because it gives us faith that there's a lot of people still out there that can make a difference in this world. So as we come to wrap up a little bit, what is the best advice for someone stuck, you know, like in a rut or who really wants more out of life, but they're so damn afraid to make a move? What is the best advice you can give them?
I think for me, it's really, it's just like, it's closing your eyes and imagining your inner child. Like when you were, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, didn't care if you had dirty knees and played in the dirt and what your friends thought about you. Think about that inner child and think about what it was that made you happy. Think about that little paper game where you had to, like, open and close. And, like, I know people know the game that I'm talking about, but it's like, just think about that. It's your dreams. Like, I moved out to Hawaii because I played that, like, MASH math game, and where I had it written down, like, places I'm going to live. I'm going to have a mansion, apartment, how many kids. And, I mean, I did all of that. Like, go back to that little place where you fully believed that anything was possible and just realize that turning on your TV and realizing all this bad stuff in the world, shut it off and just realize that you can go back to that. And it's really all it takes is for you to believe enough in yourself to be able to do it, and you can't. You can, like, no matter what. Like, it sounds so cliche, and it's like, I think if I was listening to myself, talking to myself right now, I'd be like, oh, my God, this girl is just full of crap. Like, but I've done it. I've been able to pick up and just move. Leaving my family was the hardest thing ever. Leaving where you're comfortable, where you've made your bed and where you just know everybody around you, you have a secure job, everything is in line, everything is perfect. Well, you know what? You can make everything perfect no matter where you go. It's just to go there and do it. Like, it could be anywhere. It could be Alabama. It could be Ohio. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Which, if you go to Ohio, there's Sandusky Amusement Park, and that's tons of fun. So it's just like, it's a matter of just taking your life and just shaking it up a little bit and just realizing you're not, you might fall on your knees, but you have legs to get up and go. Just believe in yourself, and you can do it.
Here's the thing that I can tell you, and our listeners will get this too, but I got to tell you, you personally, Christy, our friend Christy, will have far less regrets at the end of the day than 90% of the people we come in contact, because you had the courage, you had the conviction to go out and follow your childhood dreams. Too often times in this world, we cover our childhood dreams up believing that society knows what's right for us, when really what's right for us, we knew as a child, we just tried to hide from it. So, Christy, now I told you I'd ask you this question, and I loved your answer. I loved your answer. You may think people don't want to hear what you have to say, but people do. People are hungry for the truth, and not the truth from some religious philosophy or truth from a governmental body, the truth about themselves. And you seem to have the truth about yourself, and that's all that really matters in this world. So if someone wants to get a hold of you, someone wants to talk to you, someone wants to gather your sage wisdom, how best can they get a hold of you?
Well, I guess if they're in the Fort Collins area in beautiful Colorado, they can get through to me where I work at the Mainline Ale House. Fabulous beer and fabulous people that work there. Other than that, I mean, I have my email address, so, and that is christypk123@gmail.com. The PK is just the two letters, and my whole name actually should be spelled out because nobody spells Christy the way I do. So, but that's probably the best way. Even if they're from Puerto Rico, they should probably just make the trip and just come to Colorado because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful state. It's beautiful people.
I think they should. And, you know, a long time ago I said Portland was the friendliest city I've ever been in, but now they're the second. Fort Collins is by far the friendliest city I've ever been in. So before I let you go, though, I do want you to mention your coworkers who need a shout out, because being that we're a radio show that's the internet, we can download this. So tell those people out there, if you don't happen to be here, who else should they seek out in this the mainline restaurant to give them great service and great food?
I would say definitely Lauren, who is there tonight, and Michelle. I would say Shane and Erica, my management team, which is Ryan Brooks, Jen Fry, Joe Porter. All those guys are absolutely amazing. Really, honestly, every single person that works over there, I have really just gained a huge respect and friendship for. And in a city where there is honestly so many restaurants and bars and everything that's opening up, and it's really nice to be able to be a place that just like respects and understands like a family aspect. And these guys, like they really do. Everybody works together, and they're amazing people, all of them. Like right down, like you can go from management staff all the way to hostess and service, bartender, all the way back to the kitchen. The kitchen guys are fantastic. Like you always have to realize that, you know, it's got to be a family thing to make a restaurant like that work. So they've done a good job. They've done a really good job.
Well, Christy, we appreciate meeting you today, and we're going to be here for a little while any longer, so we'll get to meet you face to face again. But I got to tell you, you've been a wonderful, wonderful guest, and more importantly, you're a wonderful person. And thank you for visiting our lives. And we'll catch on you later. And thank you for being our guest tonight.
Thank you, Harry and Robin.
Thank you, Christy.
Aloha.
We'll see you soon. Aloha.
Yes, aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. It never ceases to amaze me when, very often we have guests plan weeks in advance, and then something will happen, and we won't have a guest for a particular show. And Christy just walked right into our radio show today. She just won our hearts over no sooner than we met her today. And hearing her story, it was one that was inspiring. It was one that helped other people that may hear her story say, go for it. Don't be afraid. And as Jeff Olson's philosophy points out, it's just those little steps every day towards your goal. Tonight, as far as our yoga wisdom section goes, I just want to share a little bit about what I was blessed and honored to be able to do this week. Our college students were taking finals this past week, and that's a very, very stressful time here at CSU as well as any other college campus. Tensions are high. Activities are just, everyone's going 90 miles an hour. So I had the opportunity to give a restorative yoga class in the Pickens Arena, and that's on campus at the Equine Center here in Fort Collins at CSU. And so our daughter Marley, who's in the Equine class and the Equine Science program, she had some friends that she knew that were tight, tense, worked up, getting their finals underway as well. And so we decided that it would be a very restorative, rejuvenating time for her and her friends to join me with a restorative class in the Pickens Arena. So that's what we did. We were not in the sand, not in the dirt of the arena, up in the stands. We found a nice area that we could set up our blankets and our mats. And it was just a really good time to be able to lead these students in a very busy, hectic, stressful week in a restorative class. So if you have not ever participated in a restorative class, I just wanted to take a couple of minutes tonight and throw that out your way and let you know that if you are a little fearful of yoga, go online, find a yoga class that gives a restorative class and start there. That's where I did. I truly was in a restorative class. And if you're a busy type A person, you can't shut your brain down, the work for you in a restorative class is going to be in your mind, not in your body. So go online, find a yoga class somewhere near you, and find a restorative class and go and just chill out. You'll be glad you did. Harry's going to be back with us in just a minute for... I'm getting that signal. I'm getting
that finger lag.
What?
I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been around, you know, the martial arts, I don't know, since I was 18 years old, and I'm well over 18 now, so it's been, you know, many, well over 40 years now. And I always thought yoga was just a physical exercise. I really did. I had not the appreciation necessary. And what I would encourage anybody, I don't care what shape you're in, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, restorative yoga to me is what our country needs more than anything else, because it's a mind-body connection. And I want to thank Robin, who introduced me to that, because if, in fact, more executives, if more people who are in ill health or who are stressful lives would just participate in a restorative yoga program, I think this world would be a much better place. And I thank you for enlightening people on restorative yoga. So thank you, Robin.
You're welcome. I'm just happy to be me, and I'm happy to be able to share yoga with anyone that wants to slow down long enough for some time on the mat. Before Harry comes back with his next segment, we're going to take just a quick break, listen to another Amy Hendrickson song that's one of my favorites, Legend. Give it a listen.
Knowing who you're not is a great start at beginning defining who you are. And I think that goes right along with our earlier guest, Christy, yes, Christy, who is just a fabulous person. But, you know, have you ever felt like someone's lying to you, but, you know, you're just really a little unsure? Do you think your life would improve if you could just, you know, spot a lie? You know, I play poker, and sometimes I just wish I could just say, that's a lie. I mean, do you sometimes wish you had that lie detector? I'm one of those that wish, you know, and I want to believe all the things that people tell me because I expect the best from people. But I do realize I'm naive. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a little research that's kind of new. It's been done by Dr. Lynn Brink, a forensic psychologist at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. The research reveals our instincts for judging liars are actually, you know, fairly strong. But it's our conscious mind that sometimes fails us. Luckily, there are signs we can look at when we're trying to detect when someone's lying. So here, my friends, I'm going to give you some tips, things to look for when people may be lying to you. They change their head position quickly. I mean, if you see someone suddenly make a head movement when you ask them, you know, a direct question, they may be lying to you about something. If their head will be retracted or jerked back or bowed down or cocked or tilted to the side, this will often happen right before the person is expected to respond to your question. Number two, someone may be lying to you if their breathing changes. When someone is lying to you, they may begin to breathe heavily. You know, it's a reflex action. When their breathing changes, their shoulders will rise and their voice may get a little shallow. In essence, they are out of breath because their heart rate and blood flow changes. Your body, all of our bodies, they experience these types of changes when we feel nervous, when we feel tense, when you lie. Now, one word of advice. This also happens to people with heart conditions, so bear that in mind. So if you think they're lying, say, hey, if you have a heart condition, if they're not, well, there's a tell sign. And number three, they stand very still. It's common knowledge that people fidget when they get nervous. But you should also watch out for people who are not moving at all. This may be a sign of, you know, that neurological fight rather than flight syndrome, as the body positions and readies itself for a possible confrontation. When you speak and engage in normal conversations, you know, it's natural to move your body around, you know, back and forth in a relaxed state. For the most part, they're unconscious movements. So if you observe a rigid, catatonic stance devoid of movement, it is often a huge warning sign that, you know, something just ain't right. Another sign that someone may be telling you a mistruth, they repeat words or phrases. Now, this happens because they're trying to convince you and possibly believe themselves of something they say. They're trying to validate the lie in their mind. Number five, they may provide too much information. When someone goes on and on and on and gives you so much information, you know, information that's not requested, and especially in excessive details, there's a high probability that he or she may not be telling you the truth. You know, liars often talk a lot because they're hoping that with all their talking and their seeming, appearing openness, others will believe them. You know, sometimes they may touch or cover their mouth. You know, that's a telltale sign of lying, is that a person would automatically put their hands over their mouth when they don't want to deal with an issue or answer a question. When adults put their hands over their lips, it means they just aren't revealing everything, or they just don't want to tell you the truth. They are trying to literally close off communication. They may instinctively cover vulnerable body parts to protect themselves. You know, they include things like they may cover their chest, their throat. In particular, watch if they cover their throat. Someone not telling the truth may shuffle their feet a lot. This is a body taking over. Shuffling feet tells you that a potential liar is uncomfortable and somewhat nervous. It also shows you that he or she may want to leave the situation. They want to walk away. This is one of the key ways to detect a liar. Just look at their feet, and that can tell you a lot. When someone is not telling you the truth, it may become difficult for them to speak. I'm serious. This occurs because the autonomic nervous system decreases the salivary flow, that during tense times, the stress decreases, which, of course, this dries out the mucous membrane of the mouth. Other signs to watch out for are sudden biting of the lips or pursed lips. People experienced with lying stare at you without blinking much. Now, this is done in poker a lot. When people lie, it's common that they break eye contact. But a good liar could go the extra mile to maintain eye contact and attempt to control and manipulate you. When people tell the truth, most often they'll occasionally shift their eyes around and may even look away from time to time. Experienced liars, on the other hand, use a cold, steady gaze to intimidate and control. Another sign, also watch out for rapid blinking of the eyes, and that's a way to tell a non-professional liar. Whatever a non-professional liar is, that's what they say. Watch the blinking of the eyes. And the last I'll bring you, liars tend to point a lot. When a liar becomes hostile or defensive, they're attempting to turn the tables. The liar will get hostile because he or she is angry that you've discovered their lies, which may result in a lot of pointing. I hope this helps you avoid uncomfortable moments and allows you to lead a more productive life. Not everybody tells us the truth, and sometimes we need help in understanding when we're being misled. Knowing when people are disingenuous can be critical to leading a productive and happy life. Well, I don't like to always talk about people misguiding you or misleading you, but sometimes they do. But if you want to know the truth of the matter, there are some ways that you can increase your free time. There are some ways that you can gain control of your life through residual income. Every day I witness people unhappy at their job. We speak with people. Rob and I speak with people all the time. They're uncertain about their future. Many people are just damn scared about the lack of control they have in their lives. The majority of people we know work 50 weeks a year so they can have 2 weeks of vacation where they can control their lives. Now, this saddens me. This seems wrong and counterproductive to our American culture. This seems counterproductive to what we vision success. Robin and I see this almost in every industry. People unhappy, miserable, complaining about their situation. Most seem very unsure of what to do about it. They want change, but, where do they turn? Where do they go? What are they to do? They want better, but how? The one industry that focuses on self-development more than any other industry that I'm aware of, and this industry provides real rewards for helping people, it is network marketing. For those willing to test their skills in the arena of American capitalism, I'm talking about Adam Smith's form of capitalism. I'm talking about that form of capitalism that anybody can achieve success. This may be where you can find a rewarding and satisfying home. Check out our webpage at www.legacylook.arealbreakthrough.com. Again, Robin's webpage is legacylook.arealbreakthrough.com. And see how far this industry has come thanks to technology. You don't have to have a stockpile of stuff you bought to put in your garage. Technology has advanced this industry. Well, jobs are disappearing in many industries, and jobs are being wiped out with this advancement of technology. Network marketing is growing and changing because the economy is changing, technology is changing. But let me remind you, for those of you that really know little about network marketing, let me remind you, to be successful in this industry requires hard work. It does. hard work as required in any industry. To become a successful doctor, it requires years of education and dedication and a lot of hard work. I mean, CEOs of major corporations do not make it to the top in a couple of months or even a couple of years. So why in the hell would you expect to make a six-figure income in a couple of months in network marketing? Too oftentimes, people think they won the lottery when they become involved in network marketing, and oh my God, I know my Uncle Sam who knows somebody who can make me rich in a couple of months. It doesn't work like that. Becoming part of the network marketing industry does not mean you won the lottery. It means you have a chance to regain control of your life, secure your economic future, and gain control of your most valuable asset, your time. So if you're ready to take a chance on yourself, if you're ready to believe in yourself, if you're ready to live a life with very little limitations, here are some tips. Choose the right company for you. You've got to understand the company that you're joining and that's joining you. Do you align with their goals? Do you understand their products? Do you believe in their mission? So choose the company that's right for you. Choose the sponsor that's right for you. When you enroll in a company with someone, you're enrolling with them as a partner. So do it with someone you believe in, that you trust, that can take you where you want to go. Realize it will take time. If you believe that network marketing is a way to get rich quick, you've chosen the wrong way. This is a business for serious professionals that understand hard work, they know it will take time, and you're not going to make it to the top in 30 days. Have a game plan. Just like any other business, know where you're going, know where you want to go, and know how to get there. And that requires reading books, listening to CDs, being mentored by those who are already successful in this business who have walked where you want to walk. Number 6, find your why. The most important reason to do any business, the most important reason to do anything, I feel, is your why. So write it down. Know why you're getting involved in network marketing. And when you come to a point where you're doubting yourself, like all business people do, go back to your why. Why did you begin this journey? You know, Robin and I meet people all the time who want a better life, who want more, who are tired of making X amount of dollars per year, and they say they want more. Well, that needs to be your why. Hold on to it. If your current career is not getting you what you want, then find one that will. Number 7, set written goals. There's something magical to your goals when you write them down. Number 8, attend company events and training. You've got to connect with people with like minds, like spirits, the people that can inspire you. And you can inspire them as well. Number 9, understand your product. I mean, that's plain and simple in any business. Understand your product. Number 10, share your products and opportunity every chance you get. You know, we're not afraid to share a good restaurant or a good movie. So why in the hell would we be afraid to share a gift that could help someone? Share that product. Share that gift. Number 11, employ a strong recruiting and prospecting system. Know how to recruit people. Know how to prospect for people. And I believe, and Robin believes, it's more sharing. Some people will, some people won't, but you got to share with people. And the last thing I want to tell you got to enjoy the journey. Network marketing is about helping people help you live a better life. Network marketing is not for everyone, but for those willing to take a chance on themselves, for those that have had enough of depending upon others for their future, for themselves and their family, for those willing to open their minds and learn, for those teachable people that want a better life, network marketing awaits.
Thank you.
Yes, it does. And as we told you before on the Legacy Forum, we're not here to make this show a Miriam commercial. But it is certainly one of the best relationship marketing companies out there. Miriam has changed our life. We've seen it change other people's lives. And as Harry just said, it's a gift that we were given. And we truly feel a responsibility to give that gift away, to share that gift. So if you're looking for a better way, dream big. You heard Christy. You've heard Harry. You hear us every week. Dream big. Don't believe someone else's story about your life. So for starters, go to our website. Check out www.legacylook.arealbreakthrough.com. Take a look at our website. If you want to be involved with Miriam, I can assure you it will make your life better. I promise you that. If you give it just a little bit of effort, being involved with Miriam will improve your life. Other things improve your life is knowing a little bit of weird news. And Harry gets part of his life improvement throughout the week, just digging up weird news. So we're going to end tonight with a little bit of what we do every night, a little bit of
weird news.
Now, Robin, I may need help with this first word, but it's, can you pronounce that? You're medical. Stanius? How do you say that word?
It's just Stanius.
Okay, here's the deal. Our weird information this week, it just blows me away. Stanius fluoride. Stanius fluoride, which is a cavity fighter found in toothpaste, is made from recycled tin.
Weird news.
Well, I have to agree. That is weird news. And one thing, speaking of news, that is not scripted, and before we let you go tonight, I just do want you to know, Colorado, our news is so different up here. And just last night, one of their stories was different in that they bring relative pertinent information to their listeners, things that give you an opportunity to make a decision. Well, what are you going to do about it? One of the stories they had last night, Harry's talking about Stanius fluoride cavity fighter found in toothpaste made from recycled tin. I'm all about recycling, but I don't know that I want recycled tin in my face. Well, I don't know that I want plastic on my face. And if you use one of these many products that contain microbeads, read your ingredients. Chances are not too far down on the ingredient list. And we all know the higher up the ingredient list, the more of it is in that product, the higher percentage is in the product. The news here in Chicago brought to my attention last night that many of these things that we use, these health and beauty products like face wash, body wash, et cetera, contain polypropylene or polyethylene. If you look up propylene, polyethylene, all it is plastic. So you're scrubbing your face with plastic, and then really the part that is, I can't say more unsettling than that, that equally unsettling when you get finished scrubbing your face with it. It gets washed out into our water supply, so later on you get to drink it. So I'm just saying you might want to reconsider how much you need those microbeads, and that's just a little bit more
weird news.
Thank you for joining us this evening. As always, we love it when you tune into the Legacy Forum. Remember, you can email us at legacyforum@yahoo.com. Now go out there and make somebody else happy.
see how time touches everything. I'm dreaming of kings and secular fame, and I'm wishing the waters run dry out of my mind. I know I'm craving innocence, and we, where we nip at the heels while spinning our deals. We can't claim innocence, no. To the past and cover my tracks, just to travel through space and time. You, with the moon by your side, have nowhere to hide. As the dawn brings a fire alive and ignites the sky, so try to found innocence in the wild. They just sit by and they die. They can't claim innocence, no. Beautiful thing is a love that can bring, well, just 1 ounce of innocence alive, and there it will thrive and more than survive. Although time touches everything, you, well, you bring back to me the most valuable thing. They make me feel innocent, and I, well, I know I'm alive, and I'm reveling in a love that is innocent, well. Well, the earth and the sky, it passes us by. See how time touches everything. I'm dreaming of kings and secular